Knowing how to look at truth, part 2. This message was preached by Brother Amos on the evening of Friday, the 18th of November, and concluded on the morning of Saturday, the 19th of November 2016, at the 2016 Bible Faith Tabernacle Convention, Lagos, Nigeria. Originally a message preached in 3 parts, these last 2 parts have been condensed into 1 part, making this the second and concluding part of this message. It is a most serious message, and may God help us, the bride, to know how to look at truth. Brothers and sisters, we want to continue our message this evening, dealing with the prophetic vision of Brother William Branham concerning the woman to rise in America, titled, Knowing How to Look at Truth. In the morning session, we saw the 7 visions God gave him in June 1933, relating to the end time. 5 of those 7 visions have already been fulfilled, and as such, there is no reason to believe that the other 2 will not also be fulfilled. And the 2 remaining visions strictly have to do with what the Lord has in store for the nation of America, as both visions are tied firmly and exclusively to the United States of America. Speaking about the 6th vision in 1960, in his message, titled, The 7 Church Ages, Brother Branham stated, Then in the 6th vision there arose up in America a most beautiful, but cruel woman. She held the people in a complete power. I believe that this was the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, though I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America due to a popular vote by women. Still on the 6th vision, and in his message titled, From the Time, the prophet also stated, And remember, thus saith the Lord, There will be a woman rule before the end time. She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. Moving to the 7th and final vision, also in his message titled, The 7 Church Ages, Brother Branham declared prophetically, The last and 7th vision was wherein I had a most terrible explosion. As I turned to look, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. Brothers and sisters, as we stated in the morning session, the fulfillment of the 7th vision is contingent upon the Lord fulfilling the 6th vision about the woman to rise. For there is a woman in prophecy, and that is the woman we are considering in this message. It is, Thus saith the Lord, which indirectly touches upon a material scripture, because as we must keep emphasizing, the 6th vision about the woman is what sets the ground for the fulfillment of the 7th vision. Although this fact about the 6th vision is a crucial detail that we cannot read in the Holy Bible, it is a material detail we cannot read in the Holy Scriptures, because there is no scripture which promises America a woman president at the end time. Nevertheless, it touches or bears upon the provisions of the Holy Scriptures, which directly relates to the preparation of America, being an event that lays the foundation for the fulfillment of this scripture. That was why in the morning, we considered the judgment of death Elijah pronounced upon Ahab, and we also showed the details of precisely how it would be fulfilled, details which only came later through prophet Micaiah. In the same vein, we are saying that the Holy Scriptures do not give us precisely how America will be dealt with to get her to the point of judgment, except that we know that she will be judged. However, because Jesus Christ promised in John chapter 16, verse 13, plainly declaring, Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Consequently, the Lord used Brother Branham to give us the vision of the woman that sets the platform for the fulfillment of the 7th vision. Therefore, we will take the 6th vision and show the relation it bears upon the 7th vision, which has a Bible base, because the 7th vision touches upon something that we already have in the Holy Scriptures. Consequently, this evening, and by the grace of God, we want to look at how God sets the 7th vision, which is the third American conflict, in motion. For the 7th vision not only gives us the divine judgment of the United States, but unknown to the mainstream Branham movement, it is also God's way of cleaning house, so that the nation of America can serve God's positive prophetic purpose for the nation of Israel. It is a divine purpose which the Branham movement do not see, only because they rejected the apostolic leadership into all truth, by which exclusive means this divine objective was opened up for the universal bride of Christ. This brings us to the consideration of Revelation chapters 12 and 13, the very thought we used to close our last meeting. We live in a serious prophetic hour, brothers and sisters, as this is not just the last church age in the Gentile dispensation of grace, but this is the last junction of time in this last church age, and as such, the Lord does not want us to walk in darkness or in ignorance of the truth. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord has opened up the Holy Bible for the Bride of Christ, and also posted us ahead prophetically, giving us the complete prophetic layout of this end time, the complete prophetic divine roadmap of this end time, as concealed in the Holy Scriptures. The searchlight of the Word of God is upon all the nations, and upon all issues of life, for all things are totally under the all-encompassing and all-pervading searchlight of the Word of God. Consequently, we know just how everything is going to end up, because we are not chasing shadows, and we are not punching the air. As the elect lady, the Lamb's elect bride, we are following our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, strictly in a divine revelation of His Word, one that is both complete and perfect, and hence, infallible. Brothers and sisters, as we have been emphasizing, the sixth vision God gave to Brother Branham, of the woman rising with great power, who will lead the nation of America to pollution, lays the foundation for the fulfillment of the seventh and final vision, which is the judgment of America. However, in order to truly understand the deeply coded projection of America that is concealed in Revelation chapter 12, we must first see a projection in Revelation chapter 13. Now please come with me to Revelation chapter 13, which we will take in a condensed but sufficient measure, and we will begin our reading from verse 1, where it records, "And I, John, stood upon the sand of the sea, on an island in the vision, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the Sea of Humanity, giving us the old world, which revolved around the Mediterranean Sea, the world as it then was, ever before the continent of America, the new world, was discovered, having seven heads and ten horns, which is the Roman-based empire, rising up at this end time, in its end time restored or reconstituted geographical entity, called the European Union, and upon his horns and crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." This is the beast we have portrayed right here on our charts. Brother Amos points to the charts on the immediate right bottom section. And today, a major or principal horn, which gives us the United Kingdom, has now taken itself out of the European Union in what is known as Brexit. You should know, therefore, that the United Kingdom is going nowhere, only they do not know it. Brothers and sisters, looking at Brexit, it looks like the Word of God has failed. It looks like the Holy Bible has been overturned. However, you must know that nothing offends the Word of God, and nothing overturns the Word of the living God. Just stay with the Holy Scriptures, for there is no other way. The main thing, saints of God, is that here in verse 1, we see the ten-horned beast, which is the Roman-based empire in its end-time reconstituted entity, called the European Union, the beast that ruled the old world, the Roman world. Saints, now we also want to see another beast, a second beast, and for this particular beast, we will skip to verse 11, where it records, "And I beheld another beast coming up, not out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, which is the old world, but out of the earth." This gives us a region of the earth that is far removed and totally distinct from the area of the first beast, the Roman beast, and he, the second beast, had two horns like a lamb, giving us the lamb beast, which is America, and takes in Canada, the smaller of the two horns. Contrary to what men are teaching out there, please note that this is not the Antichrist, mark you, but America in deep Bible prophecy. And please also note that the lamb attribute conveyed here in prophecy clearly shows that America started out with a Christian outlook as a Christian nation, and he spake as a dragon, a late development, which is to exercise Satan's rulership and control over the world, an evil and non-Christian outlook, which he later characterized, a reality we are still facing even today. Saints, It is this lambista we have portrayed here on our chart, on the extreme right bottom section. Verse 12, "And he exerciseth all the power, or authority, of the first beast before him, behaving just like the Roman beast that had existed before him, exerting control over the world, telling nations what to do, and how to run their own domestic affairs, forcing democracy over nations, regardless of its suitability or non-suitability to them, bullying the nations of the world for her economic gains." Verse 12 continues, "And causeth the earth, which is America, which takes in Canada, for they are bound together in Bible prophecy, and them which dwell therein to worship," meaning, to financially help to rebuild and restore, the first beast, Europe, that was totally decimated by the Second World War, and lying in complete ruins, whose deadly wound was healed. It is a wound that the Roman beast sustained in one of its seven heads, as recorded in verse 3, which was precisely its seventh head, which gives us the papacy. It is a deep and complex prophetic truth that we have laid out in scriptural detail in the scribe, titled, The Seven Mountains of Revelation 17. So, brothers and sisters, right here in the prophecy of Jesus Christ recorded in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 11, we have two beasts, two completely different and distinct political beasts, with the Atlantic Ocean lying in between them, the European Union, and the United States of America, which takes in Canada, and the two beasts we have on our chart, on the bottom right section. Brother Amos points to the chart. Saints, may I remind you that America single-handedly paid the bill for the reconstruction and redevelopment of Europe after the Second World War through Marshall Aid's The Marshall Plan, for the Lord used America to cause the first beast to come alive again. The United States of America started out as a lamb, but it ended up speaking like a dragon. Church, in this prophecy of Jesus Christ, we clearly have two beasts, the ten-horned beast, which gives us the European Union, and the lamb beast, which gives us North America, that is, the United States and Canada. Saints of God, just as we see one of the ten horns now trying to take himself out of the first beast, seemingly overturning the prophecy of this end time, so also, a prophecy concerning the lamb beast is also seemingly being overturned. Therefore, I ask, what are you going to do with these negative developments? Of course, we will stay with the truth, knowing that the truth is what will have the last say. Saints, I will stay with the message of Brother Branham on the issue of the woman to rise in America. You may ask, why will you do that, Brother Amos? It is simply because I am a believer. That is why I believe the Bible restoring message of Brother Branham, and hence, I will stay with his prophetic vision concerning the woman. Furthermore, I also believe the prophetic application of Hillary Clinton, that the chief apostle made of this very prophecy, and that is the end of the story. I believe it because I am a believer and a faithful follower, and it is solely by the grace of God. I love to follow the leader, the God-given guide of the universal bride, all under the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For once I can see that a man has something that I dearly need for my soul, something I cannot get anywhere else, which is fresh manna, the pure revealed truth of the Holy Scriptures, in the ministry of a man holding the plumb line of the truth of Jesus Christ, for he is a man here thou can turn on the light. I will follow him all over creation, and I will not allow anything to come between me and him. That is precisely why I continue to follow Brother Branham, and it is also why I continue to follow Brother Jackson, because they have what I love and cherish the most, and that is revealed truth. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, two serious prophecies are in controversy tonight, one concerning the first beast, which is Brexit, and the other concerning the second beast, which is the woman to rise. You may ask me, Brother Amos, what has this woman got to do with the second beast? That is precisely what we now want to lay out by the grace of God. Church, please come with me to Revelation chapter 12, and we will take it from verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder, a spectacle, a panorama, in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, which is the nation of Israel in her millennial glory," a fact that is confirmed by Malachi for verses 1 to 3, particularly verse 2. "And the moon, which is the law, under her feet, showing us that the nation of Israel has already passed through the lost season, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, which are her restored original 12 tribes, a reality she will have in the millennium. Verses 2-5 nails the very identity of this woman in prophecy, plainly declaring, "And she being with child, impregnated with the prophetic word of God relating to the Messiah, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder, or spectacle, in heaven, and behold a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, giving us the spirit of Lucifer that is embedded in the Roman-based political empire, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, for Satan led one third of the angels in rebellion against God, by which they all fell, and the dragon, embedded in the Roman-based empire, stood before the woman, the nation of Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, when he rose from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion and burial. Church, the material fact is, when Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, was born, the dragon, who is the spirit of Satan, embedded in the Roman-based empire, walking through King Herod, earnestly and desperately sought to kill him. Hence, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 2, when the Magi, the three wise men, came from the Orient, the Far East, to pay homage to the Messiah after his birth was announced to them by the angel of the Lord, and came to Herod in Jerusalem, they said, "We have come to worship the newly born King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the East." Herod was mad because he felt his position threatened, and he said to them, "Go and locate him, then come back to me to let me know where he is, so that I too may go and worship him." He was only lying, as he meant to kill the Holy Child of God. When the Magi found the Messiah, they gave him 3 gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, a truth we brought out in our book, titled The Input of Ham, and a truth we also laid out in the scribe bearing the same message title. It is the wise man from the lineage of Ham who gave the Messiah, then was the toddler, the gift of gold. This very gift, brothers and sisters, not only spoke of Christ's royalty, the prophetic fact that he will be king, the King of Kings, but this gift also set a perfect type. For it also spoke prophetically of the coming input of Ham, right here at this end time, within God's great plan of global redemption, giving us the hour of gold, a prophetic truth we have also laid out in the Scribe magazine bearing the title, The Hour of Gold. The reality of this divine input of Ham is precisely what we now have today on earth, in this third and final junction of time, for the bride of Jesus Christ. The wise man from the lineage of Japheth gave the Messiah the gift of frankincense, speaking of Christ's high priestly ministry, whilst the wise man from the lineage of Shem gave the Messiah the gift of myrrh, speaking strictly of his death at Calvary. Brothers and sisters, after the Magi had worshipped the Messiah and had given him their gifts, the angel of the Lord came to them in a dream and warned them, "Do not go back to that fox, Herod. Go home via another route." And when Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he issued a decree demanding that every newborn Jewish baby be killed, from 2 years downward, seeking, just as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 2b, "For to devour her child as soon as it was born." However, before this decree was issued by Herod, God, who is always one step ahead of the devil, came to Joseph in a dream, in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2, and instructed him, "You need to get up now and run with this child to Africa, because, as the angel of the Lord clearly informed Joseph, in Africa, in the land of Ham, the Messiah would be perfectly safe. And tonight, here at this evening time, in this unparalleled hour of apostasy, right here in Africa, in the tabernacles of Ham, the true revelation of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah King, is also perfectly safe." Hallelujah! Please note, saints of God, this move of God in the day, which hid the Messiah in Africa, not only fulfilled a prophecy of old, which clearly states in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, "Out of Egypt have I called my son," but in addition, "and just as the angel of God had also rightly informed Joseph earlier in verse 13, in Africa, the Messiah would be perfectly safe. And in Africa tonight, the revealed truth of the risen Messiah is also equally perfectly safe, for these are the days of the input of Ham. In Africa tonight, brothers and sisters, the revealed truth of the risen Messiah is equally perfectly safe. I repeat, in Africa tonight, Jesus Christ in his divine scriptural revelation is perfectly safe. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The religious world may not like it, and they do not have to like it, for they do not have to follow the present truth. They are at total liberty to count themselves unworthy of everlasting life, for that is their absolute choice. Open your eyes and see what the Spirit of Truth is doing in the earth today, for the Bride of Christ Universal, for truth bears an extremely bold and distinct footprint, which all revelated seeds of God, the eagles, can clearly see. Saints, coming back on course to Revelation chapter 12, the man-child of the prophetic woman whom the great red dragon wanted to devour, in this prophetic vision, was caught up to heaven on the third day when he rose from the dead. Now watch, for this is precisely where we want in this chapter of the Holy Bible, for the next verse brings us straight to the end time. It brings us directly to the middle of the last week of Daniel. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 provides, "And the woman, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, fled into the wilderness, which is America, for in 96 AD, when John saw this prophetic region of the world, indeed, America was still only a wilderness, a great wilderness, unknown to the old world." I repeat, in 96 AD, when St. John saw the huge continent of America, it was completely untamed, unconquered, and undeveloped, for it had not yet been discovered, and hence, it was still only a wilderness, a giant wilderness. However, just before the outbreak of the Protestant Reformation in Europe, God allowed Christopher Columbus to discover America, that it may be a place of refuge for the Christians in Europe, running away from the persecution and the tyranny of the Church of Rome, whose popes ruled the ten horns of Europe. And that is precisely why in her beginning, America was founded on Christian principles of liberty of religion, not liberty for every religion from hell, but the liberty to worship Jehovah God, Yahweh, by the light of the Holy Bible, giving us nothing but the Judeo-Christian foundation that that great nation was firmly established upon. The Pilgrim Fathers from the Netherlands, and all those men that were the founding fathers of the nation of America, ran away from the tyranny of the Church of Rome, when the popes ruled Europe with a rod of iron, a time when the Roman Catholic Church were the owners of most of the land. Consequently, since the Protestants ran to America to get as far away as possible from the persecution of the Church of Rome, they had enough sense not to allow the Church of Rome to take over the rulership of their continent. Therefore, in the day, at the beginning, they would not even allow a Roman Catholic person to run for any public office, for they were simply barred. So, the freedom of religion that was established in that day was not freedom for every demon from hell. It was strictly liberty to worship Elohim, God Almighty, according to the light of the Holy Bible they saw, even though not everyone in the day was a Christian, for some only came to America to get the free land that was on offer, and to have a better quality of life. However, today, you are not going to get them to agree to the truth of where the liberty of religion was then. We are making a crucial point. The wilderness in this prophetic chapter of the Apocalypse is America, for in 96 AD, when St. John saw that huge continent, it was simply that, a wilderness. And in the day in 96 AD, just as it still obtains today, the woman had not yet fled, because, whilst verse 1 gives us the nation of Israel in her millennial glory, on the other hand, verse 6, where the woman runs into the wilderness, gives us a fast forward, right to the middle of the last week of Daniel, which is still ahead. We will take verse 6 again, and it records, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, America, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they, a people, the people of the wilderness, should feed her there 1,203 days of the entire last half of the 70th week of Daniel, which is 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven around the opening of the 70th week for the control of the skies. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. The dragon and his angels prevailed not, but they lost that war for the control of the skies above the earth. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, to literally embed themselves completely in the human society, never more able to operate directly from the sky, as they had done for thousands of years. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now catch it from verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, the nation of Israel, which brought forth the man-child. Since, here the prophecy comes again. Look at verse 14, as he sets forth the wilderness a second time, declaring clearly and prophetically, And to the woman, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, were given to wings of a great eagle, which is the prophetic message of Moses and Elijah, by which he will be called, anointed, and prophetically instructed in the first half of the 70th week of Daniel, that she might fly into the wilderness, conveyed earlier in verse 6, called therein, a place prepared of God, into a place, now referred to as a place, for it was prepared specifically for her by the Lord, where she is nourished, meaning, housed, well fed, clothed, medically taken care of, and preserved from harm, protected, for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and half a time, half a year, 6 months, giving us a total of 3.5 years of the last great tribulation period, from the face of the serpent, the Antichrist, Satan incarnate, the Pope of Rome, who is ruling the European Union in that day, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, a great decree of intense persecution, after the woman, the nation of Israel, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, exterminated, wiped out of existence. Now pay close attention to verse 16, and the earth, America, revealed in Revelation 13, verse 11, and earlier referred to as a wilderness, the prepared place, help the woman, and the earth, America, opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth, calling off the bluff of the Antichrist, warning him never to dare cross the Atlantic Ocean with his European army, in his evil bid to come after the Jews in America. And in the day, the Antichrist will listen, and he will not dare, because he knows the military might of America, the prophetic earth, the prophetic wilderness. This clearly and undoubtedly proves that the Antichrist, who is the Pope of Rome in the Tsar, the head of the European Union, will most certainly not rule over the United States of America. He will not. Consequently, you must see without any iota of doubt that the woman that is to rise in America also cannot be the Roman Catholic Church. She cannot be. Full stop. And in the day, the nation of America will totally rebuff the man of sin, the head of the European Roman beast, and the Antichrist will know better than to try the United States' political and military resolve. Hence, verse 17 records, And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, who are the Jews in diaspora, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, who are the Gentile foolish virgins, thereby instituting a great bloodbath, opening the door of serious martyrdom in the last phase of the great tribulation. Brothers and sisters, it is very obvious that the religious world does not see America in Revelation chapter 12, And likewise, the Branham movement do not see America in the same chapter of the Holy Bible, because they are not following Jesus Christ in his present and continuing divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures. They stoutly rejected apostolic leadership when the unveiling of Revelation chapter 12 came through Raymond Jackson, the chief apostle. And that is why even our children can teach the Branham movement the truth of the Lord that is buried in this chapter of the Apocalypse. For Revelation chapter 12 synchronizes perfectly with Daniel chapter 12, because both chapters relate to the nation of Israel. Church, when Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, prophetically states, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, we must know, therefore, it is not Donald Trump, neither is it any other president, that prepares the prophetic wilderness, America, thereby putting her in a ready position to be able to receive, nurture, and protect the woman, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, from the Antichrist, during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. But it is God that prepares America. Period. For by the time the middle of the 70th week of Daniel comes, America is already a prepared place. That is why the woman will flee to this place, referred to in verse 14, as her place, a place already prepared of God, a fact which now brings us to zero in on America in Bible prophecy. The fundamental question we must now ask is this: since America is a place prepared of God, then what kind of preparation are we looking at? That is the fundamental issue. Just how does God prepare this very earth, this particular prophetic earth, which is also prophetically called the wilderness? How is this wilderness prepared? Because it is to be prepared by God. Obviously for an especially important and serious prophetic purpose, because America has a vital role to play for the elect natural seeds of Abraham in the last week of Daniel, as a place of refuge for the spiritual element of the nation of Israel. So, the issue is, exactly how is she prepared? Brothers and sisters, in the Holy Scriptures, we are not told exactly how God will prepare it, except that the place will most certainly be prepared, for God will prepare it. Period. Scripturally speaking, we are not given the details of how America will be prepared in the Holy Bible. We are promised, however, that the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, will show us things to come, all the things the Lord intends doing on earth, in order to post us ahead. Hence, here came the prophet to this age, and the Lord gave him seven visions of developments around the world, or relating to the end time, five of which are already fulfilled. However, we must realize that the last two visions of Brother Branham are specifically about America, the prophetic wilderness, and are tied exclusively to America. Vision 6 is about a woman that is to rise, and Vision 7 gives us the judgment of America, which is its third American conflict. Brothers and sisters, we must realize that this divine judgment is precisely what God will use to prepare that nation, seeing that America has become a morally bankrupt, apostate, and God-hating nation, a nation of moral pervades, and the world's national capital for sodomy and transgenderism. Therefore, you must see that God has to thoroughly purge the floor. God has to seriously sanitize that nation, whose political leadership has been completely taken over by demons. Do not forget that America started out as a lamb nation, established on Christian principles and ruled by Christian principles, and much later, it began to speak as a dragon, telling the whole world how to run their own domestic affairs. America took on and began to express the evil attributes of the first beast, the Roman beast, a world domination and control, evil attributes that have to be stripped away from her, because they are totally anti-God. Today, America leads the whole world in moral degeneration, moral perversion, being a completely morally bankrupt, utterly shameless, and arrogant nation of people. In order for that nation to be in a ready position to receive the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, it is imperative that God first cleans house. We are looking at a serious civil conflict, the third conflict, a civil war, in which the foolish virgin type people in the Bible Belt of America will be actively involved in. the Lord will use this civil war to salvage the moral and spiritual image of America as he wipes the slate clean and starts afresh. This relates to the vision of George Washington, and it is precisely what the seventh vision of Brother Branham also projects, because this divine judgment, which results in the third American conflict, the worst ever, is going to be the means God uses to clean house. In other words, the means by which America is prepared, made ready, is judgment, divine judgment, a civil conflict, where all these democrats and moral pervades are totally wiped out, in that awful conflict, changing the moral landscape of America for good. That is precisely why in the seventh vision, Brother Branham heard a great explosion, and as far as a human eye could see, America was in giant ruins, filled with debris. God gave George Washington, the founding father of that nation, a vision of the three conflicts of America. The first conflict was the Revolutionary War of Independence from the United Kingdom. The second conflict was the Civil War, on account of slavery. And the third conflict that is coming is going to be a very great one, and the most devastating of the three conflicts. Consequently, the deaths which the nation sustained in the first and second conflicts will be nothing in comparison. As we stated earlier, we laid out the vision of George Washington in the scribe titled A Woman Rises in America. For the vision of George Washington and the seventh vision of William Branham, both synchronize perfectly, and we must take the visions of the two men and bring them to Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, because the judgment of America is the very means of its preparation. For unless America is severely judged, they will continue on in their evil, godless, and perverse ways, and they will be grossly unfit to receive the woman who would have already had a great revival, and who would have been anointed with the Spirit of God through the prophetic ministries of Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses. In Revelation chapter 11, when the coming Moses and Elijah are killed by the Antichrist, right in the middle of the last week of Daniel, the city of Jerusalem is prophetically referred to in verse 8 as this: "And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, moral perversion, and Egypt, bondage, where also our Lord was crucified." Now think seriously about this for a minute. Just why would God take the woman element, having sprinkled her with clean water, having brought revival to her soul, and anointed her, then take her to a country where abominable perversion has been legalized by the Supreme Court, so that everywhere they go, their souls can be vexed by the evil and perverse sights they see, a country where their spirituality as Jews is hated and loved by these moral perverts? I sincerely think not. So, if God is bringing the woman from Sodom and Egypt, which is Jerusalem, for refuge in America, you must know that the Lord most certainly cannot bring her to the world's national capital for modern-day sodomy and transgenderism, unless and until the Lord has first prepared the country for his crucial prophetic role. That is precisely why it is called a place prepared of God, and the means of a preparation is divine judgment, a great civil conflict, a great war, as God is seriously purging iniquity when the cup of the Amorites is full. Are you with me tonight? Therefore, brothers and sisters, when we look at the seventh vision of Brother Branham, which speaks of the decimating judgment of America, God's means of seriously purging and cleaning house, preparing the nation for its end-time prophetic role, we must understand that it is the sixth vision of Brother Branham that lays the stepping stone for the fulfillment of this seventh vision. In other words, the vision of the woman to rise is very crucial to the judgment of America, which is the seventh vision, because America needs a vessel that will bring her down rapidly, morally speaking, to the point where her cup of evil is filled to the brim, when it can then be divinely judged. Because as we said earlier, and as we ought to know as believers, unless the cup of the Amorites is full, God does not judge it. Genesis 15, verse 16. Therefore, the Lord needs someone to bring her to that point of complete moral decay, when her judgment can now be ignited. And that is precisely what the woman to rise in America gives to us. Consequently, as the prophet to this age declared, "Thus saith the Lord, a woman will rise in America, and we believe it, so we have our eyes on that prophecy, as the unwritten details of how America will be brought down to the point of divine judgment. Church, just as God used Brother Branham to prophetically warn us, watch Russia, watch Russia. Keep your eye on the King of the North, and we have our eyes firmly fixed on Russia. The Lord has also used him to warn us prophetically, saying, thus saith the Lord, there will be a woman rule before the end time, and we equally have our eyes firmly trained on the woman. Why is this so? It is because thus saith the Lord cannot fail. Moreover, the sixth vision relates to the seventh vision, which has a solid Bible base, and hence, there are two prophetic events at this end time, which are both hanging over our day for fulfillment. And as elect bride of Jesus Christ, we should not be caught napping, and neither should we be found ignorant, walking in darkness with no understanding of the mind of the Spirit of God. Since America is in Bible prophecy, we are most privileged to know precisely how the Lord will bring her to the hour of her divine purging, and that is precisely the crucial role the woman who is to rise in America fulfills. Particularly as the ascendancy of the woman into the office of the president means that the judgment of America is now set to be ignited. And as it is written, the wise shall understand. Since we are the wise virgins, the elect bride of Jesus Christ, we have his mind, and therefore we know his will, and we solidly unite ourselves with him in his perfect will, as his bride, a people taken from his side, and who are yoked to his perfect will. Hallelujah. Church, we must keep our eyes on the sixth vision, because the prophet to this age gave an infallible prophecy, openly declaring in November 1960, in his message, titled, Conference, it will come to pass before the end time comes that there will be a great woman stand up in the United States, because the United States is marked woman. Her number is 13, and she'll rise up, either be president or, I put it in parentheses, perhaps the woman being beautiful and attractive will be the Catholic Church but cruel at heart, and she'll lead the nation to pollution, total moral degeneration, complete moral collapse, total moral bankruptcy. Brothers and sisters, the electoral loss of Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump certainly proves that as we stand today, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Genesis 15, verse 16. It is true that the woman won in the total number of votes. However, the bottom line is that through the electoral process of America, she lost to Donald Trump. Period. Nevertheless, I will say this tonight, and I like this particular saying. It's not over till the fat lady sings. For in an orchestra, the show is not over until a fat lady sings to close the show. Hence the saying, it's not over till the fat lady sings. It simply means that it is not over until it is all over, for we are still facing a prophecy of this end time. The fact is, nothing stops Hillary Clinton from running again, for in my minds are as immortal, I see her running again. And although there will be other contestants within the Democratic Party, it is for her to slug it out with them, as nothing forbids her from running again. For as the saying goes, it's not over until the fat lady sins. In other words, never say die. Brothers and sisters, some people may say, oh, but she will be 73 years by the next election. What about this present Pope? Is he a young man? Next month, on the 17th of December the 20th, 16, Pope Francis will be 80 years. Yet, as old as he is, the man is still going strong, for good health is of the Lord. We have to know how to look at truth. Since, we want to now zero in on the focal thought of our message, titled, Knowing How to Look at Truth A Woman Rises in America. As I said this morning, Hillary Clinton is a force to reckon with in American politics. She was the former Secretary of State, a former First Lady, being the wife of a former President, and a former Senator. And let me tell you this, the whole of Manhattan, the economic powerhouse of America, stood behind this woman. Brothers and sisters, you do not need to be told, and you do not need to be spiritual, to know that the woman is an immensely powerful woman, although she lost the election. So, the question is, how do we look at truth? She is not dead yet, and she is not handicapped, meaning she has no disabilities. And so, Do not tell me that she cannot run again, as nothing stops her from running. She has already picked herself up and has started speaking again, encouraging the people to get up and fight. That they need to keep fighting for what they believe in, because according to her, America is our own place. So, the woman is picking herself up again. You may say though, Brother Amos, it will be very difficult for her to win again. It was also extremely difficult in the days of Elisha, for so much food to be sold for so little overnight. But God has a mysterious way of fulfilling His word, because He is omnipotent and unlimited, infinite. You do not know the conditions God that can create tomorrow, that will put her in great demand within the Democratic Party, because as I stated a minute ago, the Lord works in mysterious ways. The Lord makes impossibilities possible, being a wonder-working God. According to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 to 33, there was a famine in the land, an acute famine, until women were even eating their children. And then in 2 Kings chapter 7, here came prophet Elisha, and who said, Thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, we will be by so much bread, for so little. And the finance advisor to the king, the chancellor of the exchequer, said, Even if God opens the windows of heaven, can this be? In other words, this is impossible. Elisha replied him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, with your eyes you will see it, but you will not taste of it. And you know the rest of the story, for the man was trampled to death. Because the very next day, God did exactly what He said He would do. And in the stampede that broke out for surplus food, the chancellor of exchequer, who was now trying to make the people form a queue, was simply trampled to death. And just as prophet Elisha had prophesied, indeed, he saw it, but he did not partake of it. Brothers and sisters, I say all that to say this, how the woman will rise in America is not in my hands, and it is not for me to figure out, but I believe she will rise. I do not need to think for God, and I never can. You may ask, why do you still believe it, Brother Amos? It is because I am a believer. The Spirit of the Lord did not inspire the Holy Scriptures to be written for nothing, and neither is He giving us the revelation of His Word for nothing, but His Word is given, so that it might adorn our souls. Consequently, you have to know how to look at truth, so you do not stumble, but rather, that you may be established, fully established. That is why we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 9, that there is a stone in Mount Zion, a stone of offense, a stone of stumbling. Therefore, you just have to know how to look at truth, so you do not stumble, otherwise, you will stumble. And to stumble simply means to derail. To stumble is to derail. It is to fall by the wayside. Therefore, you must know how to look at issues of truth, because there is no derailment for a true believer, any true believer. There is no stumbling for a true seed of God, for as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. And just how did Apostle Paul say it in Romans chapter 9, verse 33? He said, And he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. In other words, true believers will not stumble, because they will know just how to look at truth, and just how to relate to the truth, and not be stumbled. Why am I sounding this warning? Please come with me to the Word of God, because you have to see the seriousness, and the gravity, the dangerousness, of the hour that we are now living in, spiritually speaking, for we now live in perilous times, where Satan is in his deadliest mood ever, and our only protection is the revealed Word of Christ. In Revelation chapter 6, when we come to the fourth seal, exactly what did the Lord reveal? Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 to 8 provides, And when He, Jesus Christ in heaven, had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold a pale horse, which is a grey horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. For the sake of our new members, we will give a synopsis, a brief exposition of this prophecy. Revelation chapter 4 lays out the four beasts, declaring in verses 6 to 7, and before the throne of God in heaven, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind, speaking of the perfect and complete illumination which these beasts possess. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, an ox, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The first beast anointing, which was like a lion, was the anointing God released upon the first church age. It was an unstoppable anointing, which powered the saints in that age, and was why when the apostles were bound in prison, the angel of the Lord could go into the prison, burst the prison doors open, break all their chains, bring them out, and tell them, "Go and continue to preach." It was the lion beast anointing, the second beast anointing, which was like a calf, an ox, a beast of burden, was the anointing God released upon the second, third, and fourth church ages, for it powered the saints to face martyrdom, beginning from the second church age, right up to and through the dark ages, in the fourth church age. It empowered them to face the intense persecution in martyrdom, with the bloodbath they faced, as they were slaughtered by their thousands every day, all great adversities which they took. However, the more they were killed, the more the conversion got wrought. Then the devil realized that he could not kill them out of existence, and hence, he had to change his tactics. So, look at the next beast, the third beast anointing, which was the beast that dot had a face as a man, which was the anointing God released upon the fifth and sixth church ages, giving us the Reformation period, when God anointed the intelligence of man, and they used divine wisdom to overthrow the carnosophistry of the priests of Rome, who were selling indulgences, and who were also peddling the idolatrous doctrines and pagan teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. However, in our message today, it is the fourth and final beast that we are concerned with, because it is what relates to you and me, being the anointing that God reserved exclusively for the seventh and final church age. The fourth beast anointing, which was like a flying eagle, is what the Lord released upon the saints in this last age, for it is what powers the royal bride church as we speak. Brothers and sisters, that is precisely why on our chart, here on the top left, Brother Amos points to the chart. We started with the flying eagle beast. It is the anointing that God has released upon the true bride of Christ in this Laodicean age, which will take us straight before the throne of God for the wedding, being strictly the anointing of a flying eagle, an eagle in constant and perpetual motion, not stationary, but in ever continuous revelational motion. It is this revelational anointing that we are divinely empowered by God to follow in the ever-continuous unveiling of His Word, causing us as elect bride to mount ever-continuously on the winds of divine revelation till we meet Jesus Christ in the air on the glorious resurrection morning. With the fourth beast prophetically identified, we will now return to consider the fourth seal. And it states in Revelation chapter 6, beginning from verse 7, "And when He, Jesus Christ in heaven, had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast, the spirit of a flying eagle, say, 'Come and see.'" Brothers and sisters, ever before the fourth horse rider, who is the pale horse rider, stepped on the scene in this seventh age, the Spirit of God was already on ground. Before the spirit of the Antichrist stepped on the scene in this last age, the Lord was already one step ahead of the devil. I repeat, before the Antichrist spirit made his entrance in this Laodicean age, the Spirit of Truth was already a step ahead of the move of the Antichrist, posting the elect bride ahead. And exactly what did the spirit of the flying eagle say? "Come and see." See what? See the extremely dangerous entrance of the Antichrist in this last age, which verse 8 now gives us, declaring, "And I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him," just as we have shown on the left side of our chart. "And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Church, right here we see the spirit of the Antichrist, as he is expressed in this last age, riding a gray horse, which is neither white nor black, but a mixture, prophetically called a pale horse. This speaks of deception, And the body composition of this horse gives us Roman Catholicism plus Protestantism, Aquamanism, which in essence gives us the world church. Please note that the name of the rider himself is Death, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, the devil, and further note that he is also pulling hell with him. Saints, this is the move of the spirit of the Antichrist today, right here in this seventh and final age. Therefore, let me warn you tonight, for you must understand this one thing. We are now living in the most dangerous age, being the spirit age, and the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of death, spiritual death, is moving seriously on the earth today in absolute deception, and he is pulling all hell with him. Consequently, in order to overcome in this last age, you most certainly need the anointing of the flying eagle, so you can see, and see with crystal clarity. Otherwise, you must be, and will be overcome by the spirit of the gray horse rider. If you do not let God, who alone is the spirit of truth, deal with you in the light, the spirit of the Antichrist is most certain to take over your life. Only the spirit of the flying eagle gives us the prevailing power over the spirit of the pale horse rider. Only they who are anointed with the spirit of the flying eagle can, and will be safe, totally secure, from the overwhelming power and evil influence of the spirit of the Antichrist. That is why I want you all to know tonight that we are now living in a spirit age, a spirit hour, because it is harvest time, when all seeds come to maturity, and hence, all the spirits are here to ensure this purpose. For they are here for the maturing of seeds, both good and bad, both wheat and tares, both righteous and unrighteous seeds. So, I repeat, in this final church age, being the spirit are, all the spirits are here. Consequently, this is the most deceptive and the most dangerous age ever, because as it stands today, the devil is not yet burning believers on stakes, and neither is he feeding them to lions, but he is inspiring men with crooked so-called revelations, warped revelations, contrary teachings, and using them to derail men from the way of eternal life. This serious and incontestable fact means one thing. You had better be extremely careful who you listen to, because today, everyone has a voice. This is not to scare anyone, but the absolute fact remains that you must be careful who you listen to, because as we speak tonight, the spirit of the Antichrist is moving seriously on the earth, raging in Christendom like a roaring lion, creating an unprecedented deluge of voices, causing mass confusion in Christendom on a scale that has never been seen before. May I even add that the evil spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist, is also here tonight, for it is in this third move, because this move still also bears a mixed multitude until God accomplishes a total separation of seeds. Therefore, you have to open your eyes, because the two spirits are here, the spirit of the flying eagle, and the spirit of the gray horse rider, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, the opposer of all truth and righteousness. Hence, not everyone in this move is a seed of God, and I must warn you of this bitter fact. For it is the business of the devil to also bring his men into this ending move for the universal bride, to make a stand for truth, that is, purportedly or seemingly, only for them to later fall away and start throwing stones at the same truth they had acknowledged, openly testified of, preached about, and immensely thank God for, dragging many others away with them. Therefore, you had better be very careful who you listen to. You had better know just who you are listening to, and the man had better know what he is talking about, or you are only playing with your eternal destiny. This is all about eternal life, for it is not a game. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Let me tell you tonight, eternal life comes strictly by the true revealed word of Jesus Christ, and hence, I will not be playing games with any man on issues of the word of God, because as I often say, I have a rapture to catch. Brothers and sisters, as I said this morning, I have not asked anyone, except my wife, to follow me, and that is the truth. Consequently, if you follow this move, which is of your own free will, for it is your personal choice, you had better follow with a clean heart, and with a pure motive, for it has got to be that you follow because you see something, the continuing revelation of the Holy Scriptures. Otherwise, you will stumble. You have to stumble, because the Lord has built a law of elimination and divestment into the word, even as it is written in Mark chapter 4, verses 24 to 25, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Take heed what ye hear," meaning how you hear, with what measure, or attitude, ye meet to the word, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath, that which he seemed to have, for he will be dispossessed and eliminated. He will be derailed and stripped. I am not trying to scare you or make you afraid, because making you afraid still will not give you a divine revelation, which is the only way by that you can please God. I am only trying to warn you that the devil does not care for your stand if your heart is not right with the truth. Brothers and sisters, it is imperative that I send this serious warning, because we have come too far to miss it. We have come too close to the rapture to miss it. We have come too far to derail, and hence, you will have no one to blame but yourself if you miss the rapture, because the truth has been made incredibly plain for you, and you should be able to see something. For by the grace of God, I have not deceived anyone, and neither have I withheld anything that is material from the body of God's elect people. The Lord in His infinite mercy has helped me to take the Bible restoring message of William Branham, and tie up the balance of loose ends that remain in His message, polish up all the old truths, making them absolutely fresh and crystal clear. We have also straightened out issues that are conflicting, and teachings that are scripturally incorrect, and we have done the very same thing with the continuing message of Raymond Jackson. In addition, we have also added new truths, whereby we have been able to bring complete depth and revelational fullness to the message of the Holy Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we all know, no man can receive anything unless it is given to him from above, for we are nothing of ourselves. John 3 verse 27. This means that you are expected to see the ever-continuous flow of divine revelation and log on to it for life. For if God has not given a man something, no matter the claims he makes, and no matter what he does, it just will never work, and at the end, it will show that he was only a usurper, an impersonator. On the other hand, however, if God has given someone something, you can say all you want against it, and you can also do all you want to do in opposition. Try all you may, you will not bring it down. You will only self-destruct, as it can only prosper. It is just like when the high priest and the Sadducees came against the early church apostles when they were brought before the Sanhedrin council to be tried and slain. The book of Acts chapter 5, verses 33 to 39 states, "When they heard that, they were caught to the heart by the bold response of the apostles, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered, and brought to naught. That was the end of his so-called great ministry and followership. His ministry and its effects simply fizzled out, because it was all about him, and more importantly, because it was not of the truth, as it was not of God, but of man. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. His so-called great ministry and followership also fizzled out, simply because it was also not of God, it was not of the truth. Now listen to this, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught, it always does, eventually, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Exactly. For time and conditions are effective tools in the hand of God to justify and vindicate what He's doing. Brothers and sisters, let me now warn all of you who are following the present truth of Christ. I do not say this to the world. I say this only to those who are following this ministry, because it is not for me to speak to the world. So, I am not speaking to the world, but I am speaking to only those who are following this present and continuing light of the Holy Scriptures. You can go on YouTube, and you can even surf the internet as much as you want to, but I will tell you now, there is not one iota of revealed truth you will get out there, not in this hour of severe famine of hearing the true Word of God. All you will get are the facts about developments in the world, and the extremely few men out there who still care to touch the Holy Scriptures. They are all forever dancing around the mere milk of the Word of God as babies for life, and that in itself speaks of spiritual death, for no one stays a baby for life. John 3 verse 16 and John 5 verse 24. So, it means in spiritual reality that facts about developments around the world, whether on temporal issues and or on religious issues, are really all you can get out there online. There is nothing out there about divine truth, not the Lord's revealed truth, and definitely not about fresh manna. Brothers and sisters, you will not get truth out there, revealed truth, because the truth of life is extremely uncommon, being the most precious and the rarest commodity there is on this planet today. May I reiterate, the revealed truth of Jesus Christ is not common, but extremely rare, being the most precious and rarest spiritual commodity there is on planet Earth as we speak, and it is the rarest there will ever be, because it is what holds eternal life, and as such, it is neither cheap nor common. Therefore, as elect bride of Christ, you must understand, and it is particularly important to know that there is no truth you can get out there, no present truth, no revealed truth, no fresh manna, but in reality, it is only facts about developments and about history, is all you can get out there in the religious world. To get truth, reveal truth, the present truth, the fresh carcass of the Word of Christ, you will have to follow the ministry of truth, the carrier of the divine blueprint of redemption. And as extremely strange as it may sound to the religious world, being wholly apostate, you will have to follow the Bible promised ministry of John, the present, continuing, and concluding apostolic household scribe, whom the Lord Jesus Christ has sent to the universal bride, because truth is not out there in apostate Christendom. There is nothing, except and only except, acute famine, and spiritual death. Amos 8 verses 11 to 13. And may I add, as you must know, there is absolutely no substitute to revealed faith, the revealed truth of Jesus Christ, for in it alone is life eternal. Hence, it is most precious, much more precious than this mortal life itself. Moreover, we must not forget, even as it is written, it is not given unto them who are rather in the organized religious world of Christendom to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It is only given unto you the elect bright seeds, the true church, to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Period. Matthew 13, verse 11. It simply means, if you cannot see the ever fresh and ever-flowing fountain of the revealed truth of Jesus Christ that has been opened up in this third and final move for the word bride, then exactly what do you see? Look again at the serious and grave reality of the Antichrist spirit that we face today, which we have laid out here on our charts. Brother Amos points to the charts, giving us a grey horse rider. As we stated a short while ago, the move of the spirit of the Antichrist in this last age is the most subtle, deceptive, the most forceful, the most dangerous, the most overwhelming and overpowering, and the most all-pervading, as that evil spirit is sweeping everywhere and has overtaken Christendom, the whole of Christendom, creating nothing but utter chaos and mass confusion, total spiritual chaos and unprecedented confusion. Therefore, looking for truth in this grossly apostate religious world of mass confusion is like looking for a needle in a haystack. Therefore, you had better open your ears to the voice of the spirit of the flying eagle. And exactly what, you may ask, is the spirit of the flying eagle? It is the spirit of truth, projected in an ever fresh and ever continuous divine revelation of the word of Jesus Christ. It is precisely what is causing the elect universal bride to continuously and consistently mount and soar on the clouds of heaven, powered by the ever fresh carcass of the word of God. And if you cannot see this divine reality, I cannot help you, as there is no other way you can avoid being overtaken by the spirit of the age, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, that is now everywhere, barraging everywhere, sweeping everywhere, desperately seeking masses to devour, seeking whom to derail, for he has overtaken Christendom, which is now utterly and wholly apostate. Consequently, I sound the warning again. Brothers and sisters, you have to be very careful who you listen to. You have to be careful who you follow, for it had better be on account of the true revelation of the Holy Scriptures. I like following a man that is vindicated by Holy Scriptures. That is why I followed Brother Branham, and that is also why I followed Brother Jackson, and that is precisely why I know my Bible by the grace of God, because they were vindicated by the Holy Bible. And as we all know, or should know, the greatest vindication any man can have is the vindication of the Word of God. The vindication of the truth itself, as nothing is as great. And if a man has this great and overriding vindication, the vindication of the truth, what else are you looking for, if you are really looking for the revelation of life? Come on! Brothers and sisters, because of the dangerous, overriding, and overwhelming move of the pale horse rider, the spirit of the Antichrist, here at this evening time, the spirit of the flying eagle is crying to all the predestinated seeds of God, who are ordained as bride, to come under the invincible and impregnable security of the present truth of Jesus Christ, for that is the only prevailing ground. You had better listen to and follow the spirit of the flying eagle. It is the spirit of Jesus Christ in his present and continuous divine scriptural revelation. And may I say today that there is a God-provided and scripturally identifiable source for the projection of this great and crucial truth, a chosen and anointed vessel of clay for accomplishing this divine objective, a lead ministry in which the anointing of the flying eagle is majorly characterized. Deny it whosoever will. Hence, Matthew chapter 24, verse 28 records, "For wheresoever the carcasses, there, and only there, will the eagles be gathered together." This holy scripture, a divine provision, is in absolute harmony with and given for the continual sustenance of Proverbs 4:18, a crucial verse we shall soon consider, because the true eagles of God do not eat stale meal or dead carcass, but only fresh carcass, fresh manna. Full stop. We most certainly do not expect the apostate Christian world to understand this divine scriptural fact, let alone accept it. Brothers and sisters, the absolute fact remains, however, that the wheresoever in this prophetic vessel of scripture gives us nothing but a lighthouse of revealed truth, a storehouse of fresh corn, for all God's eagles, giving forth fresh carcass, which Brother Branham called the fresh kill of the Word of God. This is the means, the exclusive means, by which all the eagles of God refuel and are sustained in full motion, as they continuously and unabatedly mount up to heaven, revelationally. For just as military fighter jets refuel in midair, so do the eagles of God also refuel in spiritual motion, in their perpetual revelational motion, powered by the spirit of a flying eagle. It is just as it is written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, "But the path of the just is as a shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day of our translation to heaven." This gives us an unfailing and an ever-rich supply of fresh carcass, thereby ever brightening our pathway by the ever-increasing standard of the Bible light of Jesus Christ, that shines forth from the lighthouse, not headquarters, mark you, for our headquarters is in heaven, where Jesus Christ holds court, but it shines forth to the bride of Christ universal, from the lighthouse. So, indeed, there is a source for the fresh carcass, and you had better log on to this source. And as much as the Branham movement deny it, there is still a definite and distinct source for the fresh carcass, especially as revealed truth does not come in a vacuum, but it always comes through the Lord's chosen vessel of light. You must just understand that keeping the universal bride, the true eagles of God, in continuous and perpetual spiritual flight, in perpetual revelation and motion, requires a spiritual gas station, a divine aviation fuel station. Or shall we say, it requires a spiritual aerial refueling aircraft tanker, for air refueling, in-fly refueling with divine gasoline, air-to-air divine refueling. Hence, as soon as one spiritual area refueling aircraft tanker has exhausted its spiritual fuel capacity, its revelatory capacity, and it is called back home to heaven, it is immediately replaced by another spiritual area refueling aircraft tanker, for this is the walking of the spirit of a flying eagle. Glory to God. This is absolutely so, because the thought pool, which is divine revelation, and which began with the prophetic lead ministry of William Branham, most certainly did not end with his ministry. We are still carrying on in the thought pool today, but in a very humble way, in utter quietness, and in total simplicity, for the thought pool does not end until the seven thunders bear their unwritten prophetic message, because they constitute the third great thing of the thought pool. The fundamental question, however, is, can you feel the pool? That is the issue. Can you feel the pool? Merely denying and rubbishing something does not make it a lie, and neither does it make it go away. Let me tell you now, brothers and sisters, the devil does not care who you are or what you think of yourself. You had better listen to the still small voice, the Holy Spirit's present and continuous unveiling of the Word, which gives us the ever-fresh carcass of the Word of God, which alone gives us prevailing power, overcoming power, in this last age, over the spirit of the Antichrist. Otherwise, the evil spirit of Laodicea will simply overtake you. For as it is written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." In Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, a faith that is only progressively given. Saints, the present standard of the revelation of Jesus Christ is precisely what gives us prevailing power. And in such evil and perilous times as these, where all the spirits are here, we must understand that the Lord will not leave himself without a true witness of truth, and that witness, more than anything else, has to be vindicated by the Holy Scriptures. The material question, however, still remains, do you see the light, and can you feel the pull? Can you really feel it? I ask this serious question, and have taken this necessary diversion from the core issue of our message today, because you must know this one fundamental thing, which is this: you cannot use the case of the woman that is to rise in America to deny or reject the present and continued revelation of the Word of Christ, for if you do, you will die, spiritually speaking, unless you repent of your unbelief, as you ought to be able to see something, particularly as there is no substitute to the ending apostolic lead ministry of John, which Jesus Christ laid out in his prophetic revelation, recorded in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. Just look at the awesome opening up of the Word of God in this third and final junction of time for the Word Bride. See the wonderful entrance the Spirit of God has given into his inspired written Word in this last move. However deep and complex the issues may be, where truth has been made so simple and plain, making the Holy Scriptures come alive. For as it is written in Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple minded, who have a genuine love for the revealed truth of God." Consequently, when God brings you to the fountain of revealed truth, and you look elsewhere, or you value something else above it, you prove that you do not deserve life, for you do not really want life. When God brings you to the fountain of ever fresh and ever flowing divine revelation of the Word of Christ, and all you want to do is to look elsewhere or to pick holes, it is because you have no true value of what God is offering you. You have no true value for revealed faith. You are not interested in the true revelation of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will see something. Look at it. The religious world is filled to overflowing with myriads of voices, all claiming to speak for God, and yet, they have absolutely no idea about anything, and as such, we must be very grateful to God for the light, and also be especially careful. Brothers and sisters, astronomical and innumerable carnal teachings, a deluge of false teachings, are going around the globe today as we speak, for men are projecting all sorts of things around the world, creating total chaos in Christendom. Look again at our chart for a second. Brother Amos points to the chart. Just as we have shown in the top middle section here, the Lord does not expect any bride seed to drink just any kind of cup of teaching that is presented to him or her in the name of the Lord. We are not to accept every kind or every cup of teaching that is presented as God's truth, as though everything is okay, and as if everything is good, like everything is a revelation of God, and as if everything is God-inspired. As elect bride of Jesus Christ, we must know that we cannot do this. We must know that we just cannot drink everything. We are expected by the Spirit of Truth to pour everything through the funnel of the Word of God. The universal bride does not drink things straight like that. First, she does not drink any raw teaching without first taking it through the funnel of the Holy Scriptures. Whatever has been sieved by the Word of God, whatever has been poured through the funnel of the Word of God, is precisely what she drinks and nothing else. The crystal clean water of the Word that we have in this clear glass bowl right here. Brother Amos points to the chart. In the middle section of the chart, right under the Holy Bible, is precisely what the royal bride drinks. First, she drinks from the cup or can, whose contents have been passed through the litmus test or funnel of the Word of God, for it has passed the test of divine revelation. For that alone is what gives perfect revelation. Therefore, whatever the elect bride will drink must go through the funnel of the Holy Scriptures, as inspired by the spirit of the flying eagle, who is the spirit of truth, or she cannot touch it, she just cannot drink it. Any raw teaching that has not gone through the test of the Holy Bible, even though it is offered to the word bride, she will not take, let alone drink, unless and except it has first been put through the infallible funnel of the Word of God, God's divine filter. This alone is what the elect bride drinks. For she only drinks the filtered water of the Word, which is revealed truth. This is because the deceptiveness of the spirit of the Antichrist is incredibly serious in this seventh age, being the age of harvest, a spirit age. This evil spirit has taken over Gentile Christendom as we speak, which is precisely why every teaching, both imaginable and non-imaginable, are all out there today, poured out to overrun and overwhelm Christendom. Only God alone knows just how many so-called prophets there are in Christendom, on YouTube, or bombarding the world, as voices of God. Every idiot is a prophet, and every idiot has a message, and the world has to hear him. Today, everyone is preaching on the internet, and everyone has an opinion on the word, compounding the great confusion that already exists in Christendom. These are days when men no longer need to have a local assembly, or even any church affiliation, in order to preach, unlike in times of old. They can just sit in their bedrooms, or in their living rooms, or even at their kitchen tables, and preach to the world, as long as they have a camera with an internet connection on any device. The masses have intruded into the holy things of God, and now almost everyone who goes to church is a preacher, male and female. There is a particular prophetic website whose email publications I receive. They know how to mix the so-called revelations of men and serve it to their audience. They bring this man's teachings and that other man's teachings, each one going in different directions on the same subject of the Holy Bible, each with his own opposing take on truth, and they serve both or all of them, expecting their readers to take what they like and leave what they do not like. Brothers and sisters, that is downright Babel, confusion. The elect bride does not take things like that. She does not take mixed teachings, because the revelation of the true bride of Christ is not only one, but it is also crystal clear and scriptural perfect. She drinks only a perfect divine scriptural revelation, the pure word, the pure revealed word. Therefore, there is practically and absolutely nothing the elect bride takes but that which anchors solidly upon the word of God, the word of truth. And when she is solidly anchored on the word, there are not enough devils to move her. Oh my! Brothers and sisters, you have got to know how to look at truth, and you have also got to know just how to assess or test what you hear. There is a revelation God gives to every elect child of his, both male and female, a revelation that propels the elect bride, because God deals with the bride element in a revelatory way that enables them to be able to censor whatever they hear, taking it through the funnel of the word. I give this warning on account of the present matter at hand, which is a woman to rise in America. For as it is written in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord." It is a divine revelation they bear from God, and this revelation that they possess is precisely what helps them to know how to look at truth, knowing what is material from what is not material, and it also helps them to know just how to assess or prove the ministry of truth. That is why in John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus Christ equally declared, "It is written in the prophets, and they, who are the elect seeds of God, shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, having first been dealt with revelationally by the Spirit of God, cometh unto me." Jesus Christ, the truth of God, the word of life. Consequently, whosoever is truly taught of the Father, whosoever has truly learnt of the Father, cannot believe everything he reads and hears, for he or she will know how to look at truth. Hence, in John chapter 10, verses 26 to 27, our Lord Jesus stated, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Earlier in verses 4 to 5, he had also stated, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger," meaning Satan, the Antichrist spirit, "will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Period. Brothers and sisters, the pertinent question now is, how do we hear the voice of Jesus Christ? Just how does he project or present his voice to us? How does that voice come to us? When Jesus Christ is not here in his physical corporeal body to speak directly to us, so we can follow him physically. So then, just how do we hear his voice? And since Satan is also not here physically, being a spirit, just how do we likewise hear his voice, the voice of strangers? How is his voice projected to us? Church, we can only hear the voice of Jesus Christ sounding by his Spirit through vessels of truth, vessels of clay, declaring the revealed Bible truth of Jesus Christ, men carrying a Bible-based message of Christ. In the same vein, the stranger, who is Lucifer, which gives us the spirit of the Antichrist, is also sounding today through his evil ministries, vessels of untruth that he has anointed and inspired on the earth, men carrying erroneous teachings, teachings that are contrary to the Holy Scriptures, pure anti-truths. In other words, both Jesus Christ and Satan have vessels of clay, through whom their voices are projected. Therefore, to recognize the voice or message of truth, sounding through the vessel of truth, is to know the voice of Jesus Christ. In the same vein, to recognize the voice or message of untruth, sounding forth through the vessel of error, is to discern the voice of a stranger, the voice of Satan, for it is all about truth and error. Herein lies the conflict, the great conflict, the warfare that is raging on as we speak, the war of the two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is a war between the children of light and the children of darkness. So, it is all about truth and error. That is precisely why the Lord always has, and always will have, at any given point in time, a vessel of truth, a true witness. You either see him by the ever-fresh light of the Word of God that he bears, a crystal clear scriptural voice, or you do not see him. Brothers and sisters, this great conflict, this great warfare that is raging, the war of the two spirits, is now coming to a climax. It is now coming to a head, because total separation must be accomplished in the universal bride, and it will be accomplished. There has got to be total separation of seeds to allow for true revelatory unity, peace, and perfection of the elect seeds of God. Everyone playing a game with the continuing message of Jesus Christ has to go, and they will definitely go, in a way that only God can engineer, for everything is now coming to a head. May I reiterate? The war of the two spirits is coming to a head, and hence, a showdown is coming. You must, therefore, be extremely careful to ensure that what you are listening to anchors solely and solidly upon the Holy Scriptures. Whatever you listen to has to anchor you firmly upon the rock, the immovable rock of the Holy Scriptures. In this day of gross confusion, yet a day when the revelation of the Bride of Christ is nearing completion, whatever you hear must open up the Word and make truth plain, so you are established and not deceived and derailed. Hence, it is written in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and when ye know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It brings absolute and perpetual liberty, absolute and perpetual freedom to the soul from all Antichrist projections, because the revelation of the Lord is an immovable anchor for the soul. And when your soul is truly anchored in the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, there are not enough devils in the world to make a difference. In other words, there are not enough false preachers in the world, because although the seducing spirits, devils, have vessels, and God Almighty also has His own vessels. How you determine the two spirits depends on your attitude to the Holy Scriptures, because everything must be judged by the Holy Scriptures, and everything is determined by the Holy Scriptures. Hence, I do not care what the Pope of Rome says, and neither do I care what the Archbishop of Canterbury says. I care only for what the Holy Scriptures say, because the Holy Bible is the Word of my God, it is my absolute. The Holy Bible carries the message of Jesus the Christ, the man who died for me, and as such, with the Holy Scriptures alone I stand. And if people cannot take that, then that is their own business, for I do not care for their theology, and neither do I care for their creeds, their dogma, and their carnal traditions, for they are all religious vanities. Brothers and sisters, the hour is extremely late. Something is going on. Open your eyes. Do not forget the title of our message, Knowing How to Look at Truth. Brethren, there is a revelation of God that guides, propels, and keeps the elect bride, and consequently, she knows just how to look at truth by this divine tutelage. The fact is, I cannot teach you how to look at truth, even though I can present truth to you. For if the inner teacher is not in your life, I cannot help you. It does not matter what I tell you, and however true it may be, brothers and sisters, it will never work, because without the inner teacher, it will not do you any good listening to an outside teacher, as there will always be one stone of offense or the other, to trip or stumble you. To be able to appropriate the message of a true outside teacher, as true as his message may be, you first need an inner teacher, who is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Word. If the Spirit of Truth is not dealing in your life, you will have to stumble on something, which may even be a very insignificant and immaterial issue. But the fact is, you will just most certainly stumble. You cannot but stumble on the stone of offense. Because it takes the inner teacher to take the message of an outside teacher and put it in proper scriptural perspective for you, that you may look at things in the right way and have a right perception, a divine perception, for it takes the inner teacher, which is the Spirit of Truth, to hear right. Period. It is utterly impossible to hear right without the inner teacher. Consequently, having the inner teacher is precisely what separates eagles from all other birds, because she is not flying by herself or in her own strength, but she is powered by the anointing or spirit of a flying eagle, and she is also seeing things through the spectacles of the Spirit of Truth. Remember, it is the Spirit of Truth that is moving the elect bride, for her revelation and motion is not self-engineered, her motion is divinely engineered, and neither is she moving by her physical sight, but strictly by the divine sight of the Spirit of God, which gives her a third eye, a spiritual eye. Brothers and sisters, without the inner teacher, you cannot truly appropriate the message of an outside teacher. For unless God is dealing in your life, personally, to give you an understanding of truth, and to show you how to look at something, it does not matter what an outside teacher says. You cannot hear right, and you cannot look at things right. You may think you do, but I guarantee you this morning, there are stones you will stumble on if the inner teacher is not dealing in your life, because there are just some things which only God can help you look at correctly. Otherwise, you will eventually stumble. It is just a matter of time. It is this inner teacher who helps us know just how to look at truth, even when something is way beyond our revelational understanding. John 6 verses 66 to 69. Therefore, please pray for the inner teacher, pray for the Spirit of Truth. And if the predestinated children of God must have this inner teacher, how much more men in the ministry? Church, just consider the message we are taking today, titled, Knowing how to look at truth, which is only to reinforce the message we produced in the scribe titled A Woman Rises in America. As I said during the first segment of this message, I removed the addendum subtitled A Strong Warning, which I had initially given on page 27 of that scribe. I pulled out this warning, so I, in no way, treat the late lady like a baby for standing at this great and unparalleled revelational height which we have attained today by the sheer grace of God, and also being in the final hours remaining in Laodicea. The word bride should know just how to look at truth, and she indeed does know just how to look at truth, for she is taught of God. Brethren, may I reiterate, there is a personal dealing of God that you must have in your life if you are to successfully walk in this way of revealed faith, this straight and narrow way, and not fall by the wayside. If someone has to tell you what to do every time, and someone has to show you how to look at things every time, or that you need to be shown everything in every little detail before you see the truth, it simply proves that you lack the divine tutelage of God, and that is an extremely dangerous position to be in. For the day God calls the person home, you will no longer know what to do, because he is the one who has been telling you everything you are to do. For you have no revelation of your own, no personal dealing of God in your life. That is precisely why it is written in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God." Exactly. The Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. John 16:13. Since it is this divine revelatory leadership upon the lives of God's elect children which helps them to know just how to look at truth, things which most people will easily stumble over. Look at the current issue of the scribe we are dealing with today, for example, A Woman Rises in America. The fundamental question is, what is the crux of that scribe message? What is the main thrust of that message? To begin with, that message was based upon a vision, a "Thus saith the Lord," which Brother William Branham gave, and it concerns a woman to rise, a prophecy which did not give us any precise time for its fulfillment. That prophecy did not state any time at all, except to let us know that a woman will rise in America, and of the evil she will do. Full stop. Therefore, if you are going to judge a man on that prophecy, you cannot judge him as to the time he expects the woman to rise. You have to judge him on the strict basis of the provisions of the prophetic vision, because the vision does not state time. Come on! That is why I am honestly warning. You have to know how to look at truth. The timing is mine, regardless of how many times our expectation as to time fails, because the prophecy itself does not give us time. However, as we are at the end, and because of the rapid evil developments, as well as the incredible moral perversion we see around the world today, I just felt time has gone, and hence, the ascendancy of the woman has to be now. But that was my thinking as a man, just as Apostle Paul had also done in his own day. We must realize that the prophecy has nothing to do with time. The prophecy is about a woman to rise here at the same time, and no doubt, she will get there, but it will be in God's own time. So, you should be able to look at that message and judge based on the rightness or wrongness of the projected woman, for the crucial issue is the identity of the woman and not about the time of her ascendancy, because the prophecy in question did not state any time. In other words, it is either Hillary Clinton is truly the woman to rise, or she is not, for only on this issue can I be rightly judged, and only time can prove this fact. Because Hillary Clinton is not yet dead, and neither is she physically disabled, crippled, and as the saying goes, we never say die, for there is hope as long as she lives. How many see the point? Because the timing is my projected expectation, and this does not take away from the prophecy. More importantly, it is not my prophecy, it is the prophecy of the prophet to this Laodicean age. Out of the 7 visions he received in June 1933, 5 visions have been fulfilled, and the last visions hang squarely on America. And as we have shown, the 7th vision devolves upon the promise of the Holy Bible, whilst the sixth vision lays a foundation for the eventual fulfillment of the seventh vision. Consequently, it is most certain that they will equally be fulfilled. So, how do we look at it? How do we look at the woman? Brothers and sisters, when the Lord gave Brother Branham these seven visions of the end time, although the Lord did not give him time, however, when Brother Branham considered the seven visions, he also strongly felt it was his own conviction, it was his belief, seeing the rapid evil developments in the world, that by 1977, all should have been fulfilled. For this reason, he made a prediction, declaring, "Let me predict. I did not say profess I, but predict, that this age will end around 1977. As we speak this very day in 2016, we are still waiting for the woman to rise, and also for America to be judged. So, are you going to reject his Bible restoring message, the sole message by which the Lord is calling out his elect seeds from the entire world of organized religion, like many people have, because of this? Are you also going to call him a false prophet because of this, even though many people out there call him that? And just why do we not consider him a false prophet? It is simply because the 1977 projection as to time was not part of the seven visions of God. It was strictly the prediction of a man. It was the expectation of a man. As we brought out in the first segment of this message, Apostle Paul also made declarations as to time, which did not come to pass, and for which we also cannot judge him, because it does not take away anything from his revealed message of Jesus Christ. So, what are you going to do with Apostle Paul on the issue? Are you also going to call him a false apostle? No doubt, the declaration of St. Paul was a stone of offense to non-seeds. The woman issue has also become a stone of offense, and many are falling on it, and that is precisely why I purposely took their dead amount, so that there could be a stone of offense in this continued message of the Holy Bible, for unbelievers to stumble on, apart from the fact that they must also have something with which to stone this move of God. Brothers and sisters, you must understand that the seven visions do not give us time. The time was Brother Branham's own projection, when he made the prediction about 1977. Saints, we must know how to look at truth. If you are going to judge something, you must first understand the crux of the matter. If you do not understand the main gist, the focus of a message, you will be judging what you do not understand. You must first understand the main projection of a message. It is like our book titled, He That Is To Come, which the present day ministry at Faith Assembly erroneously judged me for, simply because I declared that Brother Jackson, being the chief apostle Paul of this last age, would not die before the rapture, and he died. However, that book was written primarily, principally, simply to show who fulfilled the prophetic quote of Brother Branham, period. The quote of the prophet had absolutely nothing to do with the lifespan of the man concerned, for the lifespan was my own projection, based on my honest conviction. It had nothing to do with what Brother Branham had said. So, they should have judged me, based on the fact of whether Brother Jackson was indeed the one who fulfilled that prophetic quote, or not, and not judge me over the issue of his death, because the quote in question had absolutely nothing to do with the chief apostle being alive to the rapture or not. The quote had nothing to do with his being on ground to the rapture, or about his death. And most importantly, I was not meant to understand the dream Brother Jackson gave, which made me believe he would not pass away before the rapture. This declaration only placed me in the same shoes as Apostle Peter, who, in John chapter 21, verses 22 to 23, had what Jesus had said about St. John, but he too was not meant to understand it. For St. Peter published the false fact that St. John would not die before the rapture, and John died, because St. Peter was not meant to know what Christ meant. Consequently, St. Peter was not rebuked by the Holy Spirit, and neither was he condemned, nor was he divested of his apostleship of the Jews on this account, because God does not judge a man for a revelation that he has not given in his day. Therefore, if you judge me, you also have to judge Apostle Peter, for the standard and justice of God is one, because we said exactly the same thing about a man who was on the ground in our respective days. Hence, The only way I would have been a false preacher in this regard was if Brother Jackson was not the one who fulfilled the prophetic quote of Brother Branham. Period. It is only on this account that anyone can rightly judge me, knowing how to look at truth. Brothers and sisters, two things that I earnestly warned James Allen and Bob Thompson the day, but they just would not listen, because they thought they had something with which to destroy my ministry. I knew that they were dealing with something that was way beyond their capacity of understanding. Hence, I sternly warned them, why not wait till God raises apostles, before you deal with something too big for you to handle? Then James Allen asked, how long we gonna wait? 5 years. Well, it has been over 10 years now, and we are still waiting. I further warned them that God would judge this thing, because they threw all the mud they could scoop up, and they tried all they could to wreck my character, my image, as a way of killing my ministry. But Thompson decided to compromise the truth, and knowing that James Allen was an older man, he decided he will stand with him in sheer iniquity, in utter willful unbelief, all for kind of selfish reasons. He thought he would inherit Faith Assembly after James Allen. However, but Thompson has ended up being the loser for his compromise, as he has been touched with acute Alzheimer's. This has caused him great loss of memory, and he cannot even take himself to the toilet, because at times, he does not know where he is, he just stares blankly into space. Even whilst preaching, he will suddenly forget where he is, and forget the fact that he is preaching. For this reason, he had to be set aside. As we speak, he is no longer attending church, but he is at home, with no memory to speak of. Now a much younger man, Kevin Craze, who was never a member of Faith Assembly in the days of Brother Jackson, but a man who attended church at Bloomington, Indiana, is now the one preaching at Faith Assembly with James Allen. A brother who never labored over Faith Assembly in the days of Brother Jackson is now likely the one to inherit the church when James Allen passes away. Fabot Thompson has been taken out of action with severe Alzheimer's. God will judge all things, although I do not say this to gloat, as I am very sorry for his terrible and sad condition. Brothers and sisters, coming back on course, and as I stated earlier, when a man writes or teaches about something in prophecy, you can only judge that man based on what that prophecy states, and not on other issues that are outside of the main prophetic quote, outside the basis of that message. That is why we cannot condemn Brother Branham on his prediction about 1977, because it was not given as thus saith the Lord, but it was his personal conviction, though strongly given. We can only judge him based on the fulfillment or failure of the seven visions. For if any of the seven visions fail, then we can condemn him for that, and not for his prediction about 1977. It is knowing how to look at truth. In the very same vein, you can only condemn me if the woman fails to rise as the President of the United States, and time is what will prove this fact. Now listen very carefully, and may the Lord give you understanding. If I was not meant to know the precise time of the fulfillment of this prophecy about the woman to rise, if the Lord ordained that I not know ahead of the time of her ascendancy, then, brothers and sisters, my projections as to the time of her ascendancy only becomes a stone of offense, a stumbling block. In other words, it does not matter how many American presidential elections come and go, and it does not matter how many times I think and project that she will win these elections, the absolute fact remains that you cannot judge or condemn me based on any of these times, because the prophecy did not state exactly when it would happen, except that it will happen, and as such, I have the right to think or hope that any coming American presidential election will hold the promise. Come on! Brothers and sisters, if you have been paying close attention, you will realize that the correct judgment of this subject matter boils down to two main fundamental issues, and they are precisely these. You can only judge me on the identity of the woman who is to rise, and or if I give a thus saith the Lord about the projected woman. Because the crucial issue is the identity of the woman, and not about the time of her ascendancy, particularly since the prophetic vision in question did not give us the exact time of her ascendancy. And when we even consider the first fundamental issue, which is the identity of the woman to rise, which I honestly and unshakably believe is Hillary Clinton, only time can judge this very issue. Because Hillary Clinton is not only alive, but she is also in good health. And as such, she can still run any time in the future. Let me also add, and it is very important you get this fact, it was the chief apostle who pointed all of us to her, and hence, I stayed firmly with this projection about the women. Consequently, if I end up being wrong in my projection, then I am wrong along with the chief apostle, because I am only staying with his leadership projection on this subject matter. Let me even go one step further and add, and please listen very carefully, and may the Lord give you understanding, although I do not care what the opposition will do with what I am now going to say. The issue is, even if, although it is firmly denied, but even if it ends up that Hillary Clinton is not a woman, and it is another woman that eventually takes over as president, and that other woman fulfills the prophecy, which I strongly do not believe will ever happen, exactly what does this take away from the revelation of the Word of God that the universal bride of Jesus Christ has received in this last age, from the two consecutive apostolic household scribes, the every scribe of Matthew 13, verse 52. Think on that. Come on. Moreover, I refuse to believe that it is the religious world that will be right on this issue, or on any other issue of the truth of God for that matter, and then the elect bride be wrong, as if the world is who shows the way for the bride, and not the other way round. Particularly as we know that God is working outside the entire world of organized religion to get a bride for his son, who is the word bride. Furthermore, and more importantly, assuming another woman is who eventually fulfills that vision, although this thought is firmly and vehemently denied, being a mere assumption, saints of God, it will only prove that Brother Jackson, along with the bride of Christ, were not given the revelation of the woman on whom the sixth vision devolves. And even in such a case, which I honestly do not believe will ever happen, but even in such an eventuality, we still cannot judge the chief apostle on this, and neither can we judge anyone else on it, because God does not judge anyone for a revelation he, God, has not given. Full stop. Think seriously about that, and wise up, for we are on holy ground, particularly as we are children of light. Why can you not see something, and know precisely how to look at this issue? For this is a faith-challenging issue we are facing, for God knows just how to try us all, most especially the unbelievers in our midst. As I stated just a minute ago, a fact I must reiterate, I refuse to believe that it is the apostate preachers out there in the organized religious world, and these idolatrous message preachers, who will be right on this prophecy of God concerning the woman to rise in America, and for the ministry of the elect bride to be wrong. Now let us turn to consider the second fundamental issue, which is concerning giving forth a thus saith the Lord on Hillary Clinton as a woman in Brother Branham's prophecy. Brothers and sisters, all the teachings I have given by the grace of God are all firmly based upon the truth of the Word of God. In other words, I have never based any of my teachings on any personal thus saith the Lord that I have given, because in all the days of my ministry, I have never ever given thus saith the Lord, except this once, and once only. May I repeat, in all the days of my ministry, I have never ever given a thus saith the Lord, even by a slip of tongue, except once, and only once, although I have referred to this fact a few times thereafter, just as I referred to it in the scribe, titled, The Hour of Gold. The material point, however, remains that it is only one issue, and only one time, that I have ever given a thus saith the Lord. Saints of God, please pay close attention, and also have a right mind, and may God give you understanding, because I have absolutely nothing to hide on issues of truth, although I do not say this to gain any sympathy from the opposition, and neither I am saying it in order for the opposition to show any understanding, because the opposition will remain the opposition, ardent, fervent, fiery, antagonist of truth. In other words, I expect to be crucified on the issue I am about to lay out. The material issue is, if your heart is pure, if it is right, and if it is truth you are looking for, and not what you can use to crucify someone, you will definitely hear me right. I have absolutely nothing to worry about, for God loves a humble and sincere heart. Church, I will readily and openly confess to you this day that I am not a prophet, but by the grace of God, I am an apostle. And in fact, I am the lead apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. People do not have to believe it, but that is precisely what Almighty God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ has made me. For the Lord Jesus has ordained me, as most unworthy as I am, to carry His light for the original Ephesians 5 for ministry. So, I confess to you one and all, I am not a prophet. I do not know what it is to be a prophet, and I have never claimed to be a prophet, and neither have I ever tried to act as a prophet. I have never prophesied in my entire life, and I have never given a thus yet the Lord, except on one lone occasion, which I will now relay. There are no two occasions when I have given a prophetic message. I have never given two different prophetic messages before. Brother Emels asks the members of Bible Faith Tabernacle to raise their hands in confirmation of his claims. The camera captured all the raised up hands. Editor. Brothers and sisters, this proves that I am not a prophet, because a prophet prophesies, and I do not prophesy, for I am an apostle, and hence, I am only a forth-teller, a preacher and teacher of the word of God, not a foreteller, a prophet of God. However, if I questioned about my apostleship, I will simply say this, you are all the fruit of my apostleship. For we must ask, what has brought all of you precious saints from India, from the United States, from Togo, from Ghana, from Benin Republic, from South Africa, from Niger Republic, and from around Nigeria, to this convention in Lagos? 8 countries are represented here this morning. Exactly what brought all of you here, and that is not to talk about all the saints who are online, around the globe. It is not the miracles, and the signs and wonders, that has brought you here. You saw the crystal clear light of the word of Jesus Christ. I ask again, what brought you here? What is the attraction? It is a voice, a scriptural voice, a certain sound. What brought you here is the message, the continuing, climaxing, and concluding message of the Holy Bible. That is the attraction on the mountain. That is what made you make the sacrifice to be here. A precious sister here is not in a good way, health-wise. Brother Amos points to a visiting sister. The doctors did not want her to travel, because she has a very bad back problem. They told her that the flight time is too long, but she insisted, I cannot miss the convention. Why could she not miss the convention? What made her make such a sacrifice? It is the light. Because in Africa, the sun is shining marvelously. Because in Africa, the Son of God is shining like never before. What is the proof, the scriptural evidence, you may ask? It is simply this, in Africa today, in this third and final junction of time for the elect bride of Jesus Christ, and by the sheer grace of Almighty God, we have perfect and infallible Bible answers to the legitimate Bible questions of the children of God, which no man has been able to answer, all through time. That is the proof, the scriptural evidence that the Son light of God is here in Africa. And it is also the infallible proof that this is indeed where it all ends. For whosoever reads the entire scroll of redemption must have, and does have, perfect Bible answers to the legitimate Bible questions of the elect children of God around the globe. And you must also know that it is not by our ability, for it is all by the working of the Spirit of Truth, because Jesus Christ is here by His Spirit. Hallelujah! So, just how are you going to sideline the apostolic lead ministry of completion, an apostolic ministry bearing the full revelation of Jesus Christ, and still make the rapture? That is precisely what you will have to explain to me, because you just cannot do it, particularly as the revelation of the Word of God is not given for nothing, and neither was the Holy Scriptures inspired to be written for nothing. So, I reaffirm, I am not a prophet, I am an apostle carrying the standard, the blueprint of God's master plan of redemption, bearing a salvational message, powered by a salvational anointing. That is why I have never given two prophecies in my entire life. Saints of God, I have only given a thus saith the Lord once. and I must now give you the true circumstances in which I gave it, and trust in your understanding, as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5 and Ephesians 5 verse the 8th of May I first lay before you the warning Jesus Christ once gave in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7, where he declared, "But if ye are known what this meaneth, I will have mercy, and no sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless." So, please pay close attention, because we do not play games in this way of life, particularly as we all know that this revealed way does not allow for hypocrisy, and neither does it allow for game playing. The Lord loves humility, faithfulness, and sincerity of heart. Brothers and sisters, please note that I have only given a "Thus saith the Lord" once. By the grace of God, it is prophetic revelational understanding that I have, and as such, when it comes to Bible prophecies, the Lord Jesus Christ helps me by His Spirit to know just how to look at things. That is why, many times, you have come to me with important matters of your life, personal matters, where you needed to hear from the Lord, and not being a prophet, I can only pray for you, and believe God to meet with you in His own way, and in His own time. I now want you to know how I gave the "Thus saith the Lord," and why I gave it, because the Lord loves sincerity and truth, and this explanation is really only for the followers of the continuing Bible message of Jesus Christ. I care less what the opposition does with it, except I expect them to tear me to shreds, because our eternal destiny is only in the hands of God, who is the God of truth, and also knowing the truth is what will have the last say. Brothers and sisters, if I am not mistaken, it was in the 2008 Bible Faith Tabernacle Convention, which was held in our own church hall, when I was preaching on Saturday, the 22nd of November 2008. That during the course of my message that evening, I touched on the issue of the woman to rise in America. Saints, the anointing was extraordinarily strong in that service, for we had a great moving of the Spirit, and something also came on me, that I almost declared, "Thus saith the Lord, Hillary Clinton will be the president." However, I fought that strong unction that day, and refused to say it, because I am not a prophet. Brethren, I have never had that kind of experience before in my life, but something came on me as I was preaching, and I wanted to say, "Thus saith the Lord, Hillary Clinton will fulfill that prophecy." However, because I felt that I am not a prophet, and do not have the gift of prophecy, I fought it, and I withheld myself from saying so. When the service was over, I simply wondered to myself, what happened to me today? How come I almost gave "Thus saith the Lord" about Hillary Clinton? However, I remember the day, as many brethren were under anointing, and there was a great commotion of the Spirit, such a great display of supernatural light in the church service. The electricity had gone, and as we were waiting for the generator to be turned on, the supernatural light of God moved around inside the church, displaying different colors. Some of you saw it with the naked eye, and many of you captured it with your mobile phone cameras. There were even photographs taken that verify that day. I do believe that it was the supernatural move of God in that service that caused me to believe that the unction of the "Thus saith the Lord" about Hillary Clinton, that unusual experience that I had, was right, and that it was from God. Consequently, in the next service, after considering the supernatural manifestations of God in that day, and further, seeing how I was moved to give that utterance, which I had firmly resisted in the previous service, I now gave the "Thus saith the Lord," that Hillary Clinton is a woman in William Branham's prophecy. Please note that I never gave "Thus saith the Lord, Hillary Clinton will win in 2016. I never said that. Even though I honestly believe that she would win in 2016, I only declared that she is a woman in prophecy, and that she will become the president. I did not see any vision about it, and neither did I hear any audible voice concerning it. It was just a strange experience I had, one that I have never had before, which I fought, for I resisted it, as I did not want to go against the Spirit of God and mislead the children of God, even though this issue about the woman to rise in America is not a Bible promise. So, I gave "Thus saith the Lord," as I believe that the Lord was moving me to do so, in that particular service and outside of this loan issue. Brothers and sisters, I have never said, "Thus saith the Lord," on any issue since I was born. I only speak with great conviction as a believer, because whatever I believe sincerely with all my heart. When Brother Branham made the prediction of 1977, he also made the prediction because he strongly believed it, and he believed it sincerely. And hence, he spoke with great conviction, although it failed. Again, before his encounter in the log cabin with the angel of the Lord, who gave him his commission in May 1946, he was told by fellow preachers that it was demons that were giving him the visions he was having, and in his naivety and innocence, the prophet actually believed them. And when he even went into the jungle to pray that God should take away that evil spirit from him, since the Lord did not count it against him as blasphemy, and neither was it considered as a sin against the Holy Ghost, simply because it was done in true sincerity and in pure innocence of heart, honestly meaning to do only God's will, but being truly and sincerely ignorant. And if my "thus saith the Lord" that day was not of God, then I was sincerely mistaken, utterly sincerely wrong, it being an honest mistake. And further, may the Lord have mercy on my soul, if that is indeed the case. God, who alone judges the hearts and the motives and the intentions of men, also knows, for he is God. Having given you the full circumstances of the "thus saith the Lord" I gave that one time, and as I have stated before, there are only two grounds upon which we can correctly or rightly judge the issue of the prophecy about the woman to rise, and the two grounds are these. Firstly, it is on the basis of the rightness or wrongness of the identity of the woman who is to rise, and or secondly, it is on the basis of the fulfillment or failure of any "thus saith the Lord" given about the projected woman. Notwithstanding these two material and fundamental grounds for judgment, brothers and sisters, the absolute and irrefutable fact still remains that we still have to wait and see before we can truly judge the two issues, particularly because there is still time for the woman to rise. Furthermore, and as I equally stated earlier, which is nothing but a mere supposition, assuming the sixth vision is later fulfilled by another woman, which I do not believe it ever will, because the religious world cannot be right, and the elect bright wrong, it will only show that the Lord withheld the identity of the woman concerned from all of us, and consequently, we cannot condemn anyone for the application made about this prophecy, as long as we believe the prophecy. I am only showing you a worst-case scenario, which is a mere supposition, just to help you know how to look at truth, in order to help you to make the right stand. As for the loan "thus saith the Lord" that I gave, that is the only thing I can be judged for, if it fails, although I also know that God knows I gave it sincerely, honestly believing that it was of the Lord, having shown you the circumstances. That it is exactly like Brother Branham, honestly and sincerely believing the wrong testimony of preachers concerning the spirit who gave him his visions, that it was evil, when it was actually God. May I further remind you that concerning my "thus saith the Lord," Apostle Peter equally gave a "thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ," that St. John would not dare before the mystical return of Christ, honestly believing that it was what the Master said and meant, and the Lord did not judge him for it. John chapter 21, verses 21 to 23 confirms this fact. Moreover, and more importantly, the wrong declaration of St. Peter did not offend or nullify any truth of Jesus Christ that was established in that very junction of time. And that is a very fundamental fact we need to consider, as we should know just how to look at truth. Not that I expect the opposition to believe this, seeing they have no understanding of anything. Otherwise, they would have followed Jesus Christ in his present and continuing Bible truth. Brothers and sisters, having said all that, time is really what will show who the woman truly is, when America finally gets a female president. Until then, we will keep the sixth vision the Lord gave Elijah in June 1933 in view, watching over it, because it will surely come to pass, for Hillary Clinton will surely attend the presidency one of these days, at God's appointed time. Someone has to fulfill it, a particular someone, and indeed, someone will fulfill it, And I believe with all my heart that that someone is none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Church, time is really what the Lord will use to settle this issue. For the precise time of her ascendancy is not in our hands. It is strictly in the hands of God alone, and God works in mysterious ways, ways that are beyond human comprehension. One thing is certain, thus saith the Lord, which Brother Branham gave, will never fail, particularly as five of the seven visions of the prophet have already come to pass. However, as I warned in the first segment of this message, and as I must continue to warn, when Sarah Palin became the Republican Party's vice presidential candidate to John McCain, I said, that woman is a distraction. We must look away from Sarah Palin for the simple but fundamental fact that she does not fit the prophetic profile of the woman that is to rise. Since, I believe that Hillary Clinton would win at the just concluded election, but she lost. Now I ask you, are you going to crucify me for my conviction, based solidly upon the prophecy of William Branham, and the application of that prophecy by Raymond Jackson? You cannot crucify me for it, no more than you can crucify Apostle Paul, who believed that the Lord Jesus would return in the first age of Christendom. And you all know that you cannot crucify Apostle Paul, even though our Lord Jesus is still yet to return as we speak today, in 2016. Come on! How do you look at truth? Prophet Isaiah gave a prophecy, declaring in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It took well over 700 years before this long-range prophecy was fulfilled. The family of Prophet Isaiah, with all those who lived in his day, did not see its fulfillment, and neither did this prophecy suggest or indicate that it will be a long-range prophecy, but it was. Delay is not failure. Over 700 years passed before it came to pass, but it came to pass, nonetheless, because thus saith the Lord, can never fail. At God's appointed time, Mary, a chosen virgin, did conceive, and she gave birth to a son, called Emmanuel. Hallelujah! One day, Brother Branham was reading the testimony of Joseph, and he was just so impressed by the blameless life of that man, and the things he suffered in the hands of his brothers, that he began to cry and bless God for the life of Joseph. Suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord came down, and the Lord told the prophet, I will give you a son, whose name will be Joseph. Brother Branham began to publish it, that the Lord was going to give him a son. Well, Joseph did not come until many years later, about 6 years or so later, and he only came after Sister Maida, Brother Branham's wife, had first given birth to a daughter, instead of a son, Joseph, it was a girl. Here came scoffers as they always do. Here came the skeptics, and they told Brother Branham, You said, thus saith the Lord, you would have a Joseph. Brother Branham, you must be mistaken. Maybe God told you he would give you a Josephine. He meant Josephine, not Joseph. They started making fun of Brother Branham, saying to him, You meant the Lord promised you Josephine, blatantly disrespecting the prophet of God. I pray that the Lord does not lay anything to the charge of my brethren, who have also spoken ill-advisedly, just because of the electoral defeat of Hillary Clinton. And just as Brother John Fernandez was saying in his message, Sheep are leadable, for sheep do not know the way, but depend absolutely and completely on the shepherd guide, and follow only the shepherd guide, under Christ, who is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5 verse 4. However, when you begin to question your shepherd guide, a man under Christ, a man who carries a plumb line of truth, you show that you are not sheep, because you should be able to see the Holy Bible standard that has been lifted gloriously before you today, all by the grace of God. And may I inform you that God is not interested in goats, for he is only looking for sheep. I say that not to be rude, but to jolt some brethren. Brothers and sisters, they made jest of Brother Branham, just because his prophetic declaration about Joseph was delayed, and seemed as if it would not come to pass, particularly as the medical condition of Sister Maida was not one that allowed for the pregnancies. And because Brother Branham now had a daughter, instead of having a son, he made jest of, and told, Maybe you meant the Lord said you would have Josephine, not Joseph. to think that that man was the prophet of God to this age, the standard bearer to this seventh church age, in that first junction of time for the elect bride, right in this Laodicean age. Brothers and sisters, let me also say this at this point, so I leave you in no doubt as to where I currently stand on this issue. In view of the defeat of Hillary Clinton at the polls by Donald Trump, the prophecy of the woman to rise cannot be another woman. That is what I honestly and firmly believe. Look at the name Hillary Rodham Clinton. Is it not a strange name? Rodham is six letters, the number of man, and it correlates to the rod of Ham, the days of the input of Ham, Hillary Rodham. Brother Branham came, and he said, "Is it not strange that at this end time, God is raising up men, major ministries, with their names ending with Ham?" He said, "We have a Graham, six letters, the number of man," referring to Billy Graham, whose name ends with Ham. Oh my! So, first there was a Graham, sent to the denominations, six letters, the number of man. Then there was a Branham, seven letters, the number of completion. Speaking of the star messenger to the elect bride, in this seventh and final church age, everything is ending in Ham and with Ham, for it is tying in with and relating to Ham. Hallelujah! And why is everything ending with Ham? It is because the baton or torch of revealed truth was to go, and it has indeed gone, from Japheth to Ham, right here in this Laodicean age, in this ending move of God for the elect universal bride. Consequently, at the very end of the grace age, just before the 70th week opens up, Ham will make the Jewish connection, taking the torch of the revealed truth of Jesus Christ, a torch which holds a great matchless intensity of divine light, back to Shem, giving us Abraham, in its ending prophetic application. Brothers and sisters, continuing with our focal thought projection, which is about the prophecy concerning the woman to rise in America, just look at what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, because we must understand as bride elects, the delay of a prophecy does not amount to failure. It does not. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 to 14, it is written, "And he, God, said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation, whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, the children of Israel were in servitude for 430 years, 3 decades above the promise of God, even as Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 records. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years, which was 30 years above what God told Abraham. So, the crucial question is this, and I ask you this question most sincerely, what will you do with this issue of the Holy Scriptures? Be honest with yourself. Does the 430 years they spent in Egypt nullify or contradict the promise of 400 years? No, it absolutely does not. Does this delay in their deliverance translate to the failure of the promise of God to Abraham? Absolutely not. It is how you look at truth that matters. So, how do you look at truth? Just how do you look at this truth? Now we have a stone of offense, which, no doubt, the unbelievers out there, and the atheists, certainly stumble on. The atheists, skeptics, and scoffers will say, "Oh, Brother Amos, you just lost me there, saying that there is no contradiction as to the prophetic time the children of Israel spent in Egypt. You must know that the extra 30 years is a lot of time, for it runs into 3 whole decades, over and above the extremely precise prophetic time that Abraham gave. I thought Abraham said that the omniscient God told him that the children of Israel would only spend 400 years in Egypt. Since, I can also see Jewish scoffers in the land of Egypt in that day, saying all sorts, such as, that Father Abraham, maybe God did not tell him we will spend 400 years at all. There must be something wrong with the revelation Father Abraham claimed to have received, because we have now spent 420 years, and yet, there is no sign of our ever leaving this place. You have got to read between the lines, because as it is written, the children of Israel who came out of Egypt war, a mixed multitude. As such, I can see Jewish scoffers in the land of Egypt thinking or even saying, something is wrong with the revelation of Father Abraham. He said we were only going to spend 400 years. That God told him we would only spend 400 years. However, it was then 410 years. And again, it later became 420 years. Now it is 425 years that we have spent in Egypt. Maybe Abraham even meant 500 years. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Scoffers will always remain scoffers, being stuck on believers, though they may follow the message with their carnal or revelated minds. Hence, saints of God, none of the mixed multitude crossed over the Jordan River to the promised land. They all stumbled on a stone, and they all perished in the wilderness, for their unbelief for the word of truth. Church, as I asked before, I do ask again, does the 430 years they spent in Egypt nullify or contradict or even constitute a failure of the promise of 400 years? Absolutely not. Why not, you may ask? Church, now listen to me. On the full authority of the book of Acts chapter 7, verses 22 to 30, when it was exactly about 10 years to the expiration of the promise 400 years, God inspired and moved Moses. For God dealt with him in a divine revelation, and he realized, I am the solution to the hard slavery of the children of Israel, for I am their deliverer. Therefore, just before the appointed time came for the children of Israel to be delivered, Moses had already stepped on the scene, for he came to his people, the children of Israel, and he even killed an Egyptian officer for their sake, honestly thinking they would know or realize that he was their deliverer. However, instead of embracing him, they pushed him away, for they outrightly rejected his leadership. And since they rejected his ministry, appreciating nothing, when no man had ever stood up for them before, against an Egyptian, this rejection forced Moses to run away to the land of Midian, all out of fear. And hence, God decided to punish the children of Israel, adding more years of servitude to the cried out for deliverance when they now appreciated something. Acts chapter 7, verses 27 to 30, categorically records. But he, the Hebrew man, that did his neighbor wrong thrust him, Moses, away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, which included the extra 30 years, clearly proving that Moses actually came to the children of Israel exactly at about 10 years to the expiration of their allotted 400 years, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the fundamental fact remains that when the allotted time for their deliverance from Egypt came, the Lord had already provided their deliverer, just as he had promised Abraham, for God was right on time. But unfortunately, they rejected God's provided way, the Lord's provided ministry of deliverance, thereby bringing upon themselves 30 extra years of servitude. Yes, the omniscient God knew that this delay would happen, but that was not his plan, as it was not his perfect will, and it was also not what he promised, and neither was it what he caused. And as such, there is absolutely no contradiction in the promise of God as to time, in relation to the extra years they spent in Egypt, because God was right on time. The extra 30 years does not offend the 400 years that the Lord had promised Abraham. However, it does show that our unbelief for the word of God, our unbelief for the Lord's word of promise, can delay the application or fulfillment of a divine promise, because there is a price we will pay for unbelief. Nevertheless, we must understand that any such delay still does not nullify or contradict the word of God, because the fault is of man, and not of God, as God is on time, always on time, ever right on time, on his time. Since, how we look at truth is what makes the difference. So, I ask you again, and you will answer it in your heart with sincerity. What will you do with the issue of the 430 years? If you were there in that day, would you have rejected the prophetic revelation of Abraham because of it, or would you have condemned him? Again, in the inspired record of Moses, that was laid out in Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 to 3, the Lord clearly told Moses that he would take the children of Israel to the promised land, but Moses was taken off the scene in the wilderness, and he never made it to the land of Canaan. So, if you were among the children of Israel in the wilderness, would you have called Moses a false prophet, using the standard of Deuteronomy 18 verses 20 to 22, because he never made it to the promised land, which he claimed that the omniscient God told him he would take them to? Would you have thrown away the Torah, the law of Moses, because he failed to make it to the promised land? Would you have denounced the prophetic lead ministry of Moses for this very reason? Come on! In the same vein, I also ask you, what are you going to do with the vision and prophecy about the woman that is to rise in America? Brothers and sisters, as we have well proven by the Holy Scriptures in this message, the coming Antichrist, who is the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, will not rule over the Lamb Beast, North America, a scriptural fact which confirms the absolute truth that the woman to rise in America is not the Roman Catholic Church and cannot be the Church of Rome. Consequently, the material question that remains is, who is she? Who is this woman? Church, when God anointed Raymond Jackson as a chief apostle, he clearly and unambiguously pointed us to Hillary Clinton as a woman in prophecy and as a faithful follower, a believer. I cannot but follow his light, his revelatory leadership, as my shepherd guide, under our Lord Jesus Christ. That was why I logged on to Hillary Clinton ever since. Church, I believe with all my heart that Hillary Rodham Clinton is a woman destined to fulfill this prophecy, and hence, I will not be considering any other woman. It is true, we expected her to win in 2008, but God used the election that she lost to vindicate the truth of the input of Ham on a political level by the presidency of Barack Obama. He became a signpost on a political level of a spiritual reality, a natural pointer to what God is doing on a spiritual level. And we also expected her to win this year, 2016, but she also lost the election to Donald Trump, proving that the time for that woman, Hillary Clinton, to attain the presidency of the United States, in order to cause the cup of the Amorites to be filled to the brim, has obviously not yet come, because that woman is ordained to lead the nation of America to pollution, full pollution. And when the cup of the iniquity of the nation is full, following the fulfillment of the sixth vision, the seventh vision will then be ignited, for it will come into play. Brothers and sisters, the time for her ascendancy is not in our hands, and more importantly, the prophecy concerning her ascendancy also does not give us time, for the time projection has always been ours. Consequently, you can only judge a man by the content of that prophecy, and not with the issue of time, which does not form any part of the prophecy. That prophecy has no time limit attached to it, as a time projection is strictly ours. Nevertheless, that prophecy will still come to pass, because it is "Thus saith the Lord," by Elijah the prophet of God. Brothers and sisters, as we slowly bring a message to a close, I will now make a very serious and profound point, because you do not have to stumble. The issue of the woman to rise, brothers and sisters, devolves on the means the Lord will use to eventually bring the United States of America to full pollution, that she might be judged, and this will give us the fulfillment of the sixth and seventh visions of the prophet to this Laodicean age. Having set forth this message, titled, Knowing How to Look at Truth, Reinforcing the Scribe of July 2007, titled, A Woman Rises in America, may I now warn, brothers and sisters, for we must understand this important fact, for it is a key fact. Whether we know who is to become the woman president of America or not, does not take anything away from the scriptural revelation which the universal bride of Jesus Christ has received. There is no Bible truth that it takes away, beginning from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. I say this, because regardless of whether Hillary Clinton becomes the American president or not, although I know she will, we are still faced with three fundamental, infallible, immutable, and overriding truths of the Holy Scriptures, which convey three great objectives of God for the universal bride of Jesus Christ. Three divine objectives that the Lord expects every elect bridesmaid to seriously consider and firmly align with. First, there is a revelational standard that the word bride must attain. Second, there is an original efficient fire for ministry that must be reproduced by the word, who alone can prepare the elect royal bride for the rapture. Three, there is a great revival of the word bride, a supernatural power move of God, by which he will be reproduced, a move which necessitates the messenger in the latter rain. In other words, and in true essence, the issue of the woman to rise, notwithstanding, you must still see the fountain of the ever fresh and ever flowing water of life unlimited, which the third and final household described is bearing by the Spirit of Christ, which cannot be sidetracked, overturned, rejected, or thrown away on any account and for any reason. Otherwise, the issue of the woman becomes your stone of offense, your stumbling stone. For the Lord still expects you to be able to see the incredible depth, the great height, the phenomenal expanse, the immense richness, the absolute crystal clarity, and the ever-continuous flow of revealed truth, fresh manna, which the Spirit of Jesus Christ is using Apostle John to give to the universal bride, from the pages of the Holy Bible. For without the present truth, the present, and continuing, and climaxing, and concluding light of Jesus Christ, these three fundamental divine objectives cannot be realized, and hence, the elect royal word bride, who is to make herself ready by the pure and unlimited word for the royal marriage in heaven, will just not be achieved. Of course, you are at total liberty to reject the present truth just because Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, but we will see just how you will make it on your own. Exactly. For I lay before you the overriding provisions of Proverbs 4 verse 18, Matthew 13 verse 52 and Matthew 24 verse 28 and Revelation 1 verse 3 and Revelation 10 verses 8 to 11. The vital divine stepping stone to accomplishing Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 13 and Ephesians 5 verses 26 to 27, which will make the elect royal word bride ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ, a royal bridegroom. For there is no other way that she can be thoroughly cleansed and immaculately washed to become a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, except and only except by the unlimited supply of ever clean and ever fresh water of the word of Christ, an irrefutable fact which not only demands having a standard bearer, the truth bearer, but it also demands our following this apostolic lead ministry, bearing revelational completeness. Consequently, you had better open your eyes and see something. I have to ask, and this is a very serious question, one that I pose only to the continuity life movement, in order to shake some people to true spiritual reality. What if the true identity of the woman to rise is even something that has been deliberately withheld from us by God, making this issue more like what we call a boxed revelation, as a means of testing our attitude towards the unparalleled measure of the revealed truth that we have received at this evening time, particularly knowing that we cannot judge any man for a wrong projection of something that the Lord has not yet revealed? Come on! It is clearly written that God winks at the days of the ignorance of the truth, days when God has not yet shed his light on an issue. Acts 17, verse 30. Saints of God, I am not trying to play smart, for we do not do that, and this is not a game. But what if the true identity of this woman is something that has been deliberately withheld from us by God? Please note that I am not saying, or even implying that her identity has been withheld, because for the umpteenth time, I honestly and strongly believe the woman to rise is Hillary Clinton, and not any other woman, but Hillary Rodham Clinton. However, what if her identity has been withheld by God, and we are all just sincerely wrong on this issue like Apostle Peter was, as laid out in John 21 verses 20 to 24. Now think seriously about that. For the Lord can do anything to serve his purpose, particularly knowing that as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, God taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He catches the wise in their own conceits. so they are nothing but unbelieving hypocrites to begin with. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, and this is really what it all boils down to, just as you can now use the failed prediction of 1977 to reject the Bible Rastafari message of Elijah, and as you also can now use the initial wrong projection of Apostle Paul regarding the shortness of time, for which reason he counseled young unmarried, single, sisters to remain unmarried, to reject the divine blueprint of Gentile redemption, the true revelation of Jesus Christ that St. Paul bore for us Gentiles. So equally, you can now use the issue of Hillary Clinton to reject or throw away the present, continuing, climaxing, and concluding light of the word of Jesus Christ, a most marvelous light. You just cannot. You most certainly can now use the issue of the woman's rights in America to deny or reject the unparalleled light that the lead Apostle John is bearing today for the universal bride of Christ as the messenger of completeness, the third and final reader, he that readeth, the man who is the messenger in the latter rain. You cannot do that, or you will pay a very steep price, and you will be very sorry at the end of the road. And if I may even ask you as I literally close, exactly what are you going to put in place of this unparalleled revelation of the word of Jesus Christ? You had better know how to look at truth, or you will stumble, because all the elect seeds of God are taught of God, and as such, they know just how to look at truth, for they cannot be confounded, they just cannot stumble. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother, we must pray. The Lord bless you.